Book 1. Aegean Prelude, 3500 to 1000 BC. Chapter 1. Crete. 1. The Mediterranean. As we enter the fairest of all waters, leaving behind us the Atlantic and Gibraltar, we pass at once into the arena of Greek history. Like frogs around a pond, said Plato, we have settled down upon the shores of this sea. Even on these distant coasts, the Greeks founded precarious, barbarian-bound colonies many centuries before Christ. At Hemeroscopium and Ampurias in Spain, at Marseille and Nice in France, and almost everywhere in southern Italy and Sicily. Greek colonists established prosperous towns at Cyrene in northern Africa and at Naucratis in the delta of the Nile. Their restless enterprise stirred the islands of the Aegean and the coasts of Asia Minor then as in our century. All along the Dardanelles and the Sea of Marmora and the Black Sea, they built towns and cities for their far-venturing trade. Mainland Greece was but a small part of the ancient Greek world. Why was it that the second group of historic civilizations took form on the Mediterranean, as the first had grown up along the rivers of Egypt, Mesopotamia, and India, as the third would flourish on the Atlantic, and as the fourth may appear on the shores of the Pacific? Was it the better climate of the lands washed by the Mediterranean? There, then as now, winter rains nourished the earth, and moderate frosts stimulated men. There, almost all the year round, one might live an open-air life under a warm but not enervating sun. And yet the surface of the Mediterranean coasts and islands is nowhere so rich as the alluvial valleys of the Ganges, the Indus, the Tigris, the Euphrates, or the Nile. The summer's drought may begin too soon or last too long, and everywhere a rocky basis lurks under the thin crust of the dusty earth. The temperate north and the tropic south are both more fertile than these historic lands, where patient peasants, weary of coaxing the soil, more and more abandoned tillage to grow olives and the vine. And at any moment, along one or another of 100 faults, earthquakes might split the ground beneath men's feet and frighten them into a fitful piety. Climate did not draw civilization to Greece. Probably it has never made a civilization anywhere. What drew men into the Aegean was its islands. The islands were beautiful. Even a worried mariner must have been moved by the changing colors of those shadowed hills that rose like temples out of the reflecting sea. Today there are few sights lovelier on the globe, and sailing the Aegean, one begins to understand why the men who peopled those coasts and isles came to love them almost more than life, and, like Socrates, thought exile bitterer than death. But further, the mariner was pleased to find that these island jewels were strewn in all directions, and at such short intervals that his ship, whether going between east and west or between north and south, would never be more than 40 miles from land. And since the islands, like the mainland ranges, were the mountain tops of a once continuous territory that had been gradually submerged by a pertinacious sea, some welcome peak always greeted the outlook's eye and served as a beacon to ships that had as yet no compass to guide them. Again, the movements of wind and water conspired to help the sailor reach his goal. A strong central current flowed from the Black Sea into the Aegean, and countercurrents flowed northward along the coasts, while the northeasterly Aetesian winds blew regularly in the summer to help back to their southern ports the ships that had gone to fetch grain, fish, and furs from the Euxine Sea. Fog was rare in the Mediterranean, and the unfailing sunshine so varied the coastal winds that at almost any harbor from spring to autumn, one might be carried out by a morning and brought back by an evening breeze. The Greeks called the Mediterranean hopontos, the passage or road, and euphemistically termed the Black Sea hopontos euxenos, the sea kindly to guests, perhaps because it welcomed ships from the south with adverse currents and winds. The broad rivers that fed it and the frequent mists that reduced its